kill it. I was meant to win. I am down and willing, so I will find a way. It took a minute, I didn't have a right away. When it get hot in the kitchen, you decide to stay. That's how a winner's made. Stick a fork in the hater on my dinner plate. I walk into the fire like it's just a...
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Clydesdale Media Podcast. It's our interview series, and we are here with the one and only Rebecca Fuselet. How's it going, Rebecca?
It's going well.
It is always a treat to get to talk to you. We met a couple years ago, right before the Mac.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been friends ever since, and it's been awesome.
Yeah, definitely kind of grown together, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I was looking at, like, some of your numbers. These are later in my notes, but I'm going to talk about it now. When we first got with you interviewed you, I was doing a semifinal series, and I always looked to see like how many followers a person had, and if they shared any of the content, how much would that help us? Mm-hmm. And you had about 5,000 followers back then.
Yeah.
You are now at, I think, 300 and something insane.
20 something right now. Yeah. It just over the past year. I mean, it's been a steady climb, but every now and then you get a little blow up.
Yeah. Like, and you're killing the internet. Like, you are amazing at it, and you're getting better and better as I've gotten to know you over the last couple of years. Some of the first stuff you put out back when we first met was really funny, really raw. Uh-huh. And now you're getting so good at it. You're playing multiple characters. And it's all over the map. You have like education, you have funny, you have a podcast now. Mm-hmm. You're doing it all. What is your favorite aspect of it?
Probably the comedy skits are always fun, just because that's like my creative side that comes out. When I first started growing my Instagram page, I always wanted it to be a good balance of entertainment, because that's what social media is, and I have fun on that side. People gaining something from watching me train, and also gaining something from education, coaching, because that is also a big passion of mine. So I always wanted it to be balanced. But lately, I've been branching more into entertainment and comedy. But still trying to sneak in some educational, like, this is what I'm still doing in training, because people love to see that too. But seeing the comedy skits come together when an idea pops in my head is funny. It entertains me. Maybe I'm just over here entertaining myself.
Well, it's working. Harley Mom 223 says, hello, Rebecca. You are awesome.
Hey, thank you. You're awesome too.
And Corey Leonard says, we call it edu-comedy.
Oh, I love that.
There we go. So when the idea pops in your head, and then you have to like plan it out, like how you're going to film it to get the vision into reality.
Mm-hmm.
How much better are you at that today? And how long does that generally take?
Okay, so surprisingly, just being that I do everything with just my phone, like I shoot all those shots with just my phone, I can shoot them pretty fast. I think the eye that I have for like the different angles and putting some of the skits together is similar to how some people are really good at writing or really good at building stuff with their hands or sculpting. Or I even talk about, like, my little sister's such a good artist in every sense, like painting and drawing, and she has an eye for that. I think I kind of have, my creative side has an eye for creating these videos and skits, and I think that's where my weird faces come from too. I'm like just a little bit busting out those little weird things that we see on a daily basis, and then it's also like a little bit of a challenge of a skill to try to portray that. So I don't know. I think I thought back to a while that I have been editing videos for a while. It's just now this comedy side and creative side has come out over the last couple years. So,
and you've, I know that you, for, you might still be doing it, painting shoes. Mm-hmm. Like, you have art in your mind anyway, right? Like, mm-hmm. So visual arts.
Mm-hmm.
So now that you've added multiple characters, do you have to like have spots on the floor that you stand to make sure that like all of the Rebeccas fit?
Yes, that is a big part of it. And basically I just, you would act out a scene just how you would see it in your brain. So if coach is standing on this side of the gym, then coach is standing on the other side of the gym. And I don't know if other people can tell, but if I don't get that the way my picky brain wants to see it, I don't like it. It doesn't make sense to me. So there are some challenges in that. But I think where the reels and the skits that I do really hit hard is that, sorry to everyone at CrossFit Bolt, they're all based off of you guys. Everything that we do here.
Yeah,
so you probably, some people have taken on the liberty of guessing who this reels was made off of. So it's a game now.
Has anybody complained about it, or do they just laugh at themselves?
No, they just laugh. We're all one big family here. They laugh, or they, everybody, including, or sometimes a lot of times they're built off of like myself too. And we all just laugh together, or it's a fun way. I think some of my old reels used to be like with the gym and making fun of just messy equipment or something like that, having a more creative way to get our point across without just being like, pick up your equipment, you know? I think it kind of started that way. And now it's just the silliness that goes on in everyday life. So just relatable things for everyone that everyone can laugh at.
Yeah, that's awesome. We had a meme guy in my old gym, and every meme was something from the gym, right? Like a coach. Like mm-hmm. You could pick which coach he was making fun of, or which athlete or whatever. And it actually became really an awesome experience to kind of be a part of as he grew in popularity.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, you knew who he was talking about.
Well, there's a tactful way to do it, right? We're not just going out and making fun of people. And there's a classy, funny way to do it. And then there's ways that it can come across in the wrong way. But, luckily everybody kind of understands me and my sense of humor, and we can all get a good laugh from it.
Yeah. So cool. Mm-hmm. So I am trying to mute my mic and I'm trying to do some things, but I was in Michigan this last weekend, covering my co-host doing quarterfinals, and my setup is all messed up.
We're making it work.
Yeah. I had like multiple mics plugged into the soundboard and now they're all on. I don't know which one's mine.
All right. We sound good on my end.
Yeah. Cool. Well, so there it is. Anyway. So you're also a podcaster now. We talked about that last time you were on the show. You started doing this podcast. You were just in the beginnings last time you were on. Now you've been doing it for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you like doing podcasting? Is there any pressure coming up with topics every week? As someone who does weekly shows, sometimes that can be tough. And then sometimes CrossFit just makes it super easy for you.
Yeah. Especially while you're in season, right? You have things to talk about and everything. And when you're out of season, it gets a little bit more challenging. I think, well, we're trying to get on y'all's level, Scott, because we were doing really good for a while of getting one out every week. Like last week, quarterfinals kept me from shooting another one. I need to get like episodes ahead so I have time to edit them and everything. But our podcast, and I've always wanted it to be this way, is not so much a news podcast. It's more of just Matt and I sit down and talk about topics, what's going on in our life, and then the broader picture of CrossFit and how that all ties together. And then just random questions from folks and fans, just to make it more of a conversation. And honestly, I don't feel much pressure when it comes to podcast topics and everything, because Matt and I will talk about anything fitness related, or maybe it's like not even close to fitness, just the most random things. And I think it's something we really enjoy doing together, because we'll get on the weirdest subjects. And it's just a conversation between us. But I will say, on the podcast that I didn't have like some bullet points and some things prepared, they went all over the place, crazy wild, and I didn't like them as much. So there's an element of organization with a little bit of spontaneity. I'm still trying to figure out that.
So Holly, Love the podcast.
Holly
is our statistician. If you see any stats coming out on our Instagram page, all her.
Awesome. Oh, I love it. I love it. And you guys are always posting awesome
stuff.
She's
amazing. She does all the leaderboards at every competition, so we can show who's won an event or whatever. You were going to say, it looked like?
I'm sure you feel the same way. When you have people, and I was really thankful at Wadapalooza when people would come up and say, hey, we listen to the podcast and we love it. That's like a whole nother level of appreciating like the content. Cause I feel like the people that listen to your podcast are your friends, right? Cause they're in on the conversation with you. So that when I have folks that say, hey, we listen to the podcast and we laugh and enjoy it. That means that's probably a little bit above just like, hey, your reels are funny and everything. That it's like a whole nother level because you're sitting there in the conversation with us. So we love hearing that.
Well, if you look at it, like when you're doing a podcast, it's an hour generally, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a commitment from these people to sit down and listen to you for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram, scrolling by.
Yeah.
And right.
That is it. Yeah.
Right. And it's 60 seconds or 3 minutes or, but a podcast is an hour and they're getting to know you more.
Yeah.
And if they stick with you, that means they must like you.
Yeah. It is.
Or they really hate you and they're want to watch you fail. It's one of the two.
Or that. I mean, thank you for watching either way.
Yeah, exactly.
So yes, but we love doing the podcast. It is super fun for us to sit down and have some crazy conversations each week and to hear that people love them and laugh with us. It means a lot.
It's funny because when we first started, like we had one show that tried to do everything. We'd have an interview. We'd talk about our personal lives. We talk about the news in the space and it got cluttered like really bad. Now, like our roundtable that we do every Tuesday afternoon is just my friends getting on and talking about our personal lives and maybe a little bit of CrossFit stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one show we do. Then on Thursday nights, we do like a strict new show now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, straight down the middle, straight down the fairway. We're talking CrossFit news, what's going on, giving opinions, all that kind of stuff. But Jeffrey Birchfield brings this up, and I wanted to ask you myself, speaking of people who are your friends now, Jay Birch is one of those. Have you thought about live or bringing on a guest? And when we switched to live, it was a game changer for us.
Yeah. So we have thought about that. I can honestly say we don't have a good setup for what we do right now. It's literally Matt and I in our office chairs in my phone recording in our Bluetooth mic. So in the future, when we have a better setup, that would be so fun. Actually, I have to say this. In the past, Matt, when he's done his individual podcast, he called it the Bolt Pod, he used to bring some members of the gym onto it. And it was a really fun thing because these are your friends that you always work out with, but you get to learn a little bit more about them when they're on the podcast. So I would love to do stuff like that. Obviously big names and everything are always fun to talk to as well, but it's kind of like the same thing you do, Scott, is you give those athletes that haven't, like myself two years ago, that haven't gotten to tell their story yet and given the opportunity. I'd love to do that like within our community. And then if anyone else wants to jump on, but it's we're limited a little bit by my schedule and our setup a little bit when it comes to that.
Yeah. If the only time you have is 3 a.m. live probably isn't that good anyway, because nobody's up, you know,
I end up at 3 a.m., but I would be if I mean, sleep is boring, but I have to sleep.
Yeah, I don't even know how you keep your schedule. It's insane.
I like it that way.
Omar says, funny AF. And you are.
More laughs. We need more laughs.
Denise Moore, amazing 65-plus Masters athlete, says, I love Becca.
I love you too. Thank you, guys. It always means a lot to know you guys are out there cheering us on over here.
It's funny you say, like, that. When we first talked, you hadn't had a lot of opportunities on a podcast, and that's what kind of this show does. We try to give a voice to those that don't have one in the space. But honestly, it was out of greed. The stories are way more interesting from those people than everybody's heard what Justin has to say. Everybody's heard what Tia has to say.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody heard what Rebecca had to say two years ago.
Yeah, it's just new conversations. That's good stuff.
Right. And sometimes it's like Denise's story that we just pulled up. Mm-hmm. Like I just interviewed her. She's a breast cancer survivor who is competing and went through a lot of trauma overcoming some things. And then she won Legends last year.
That's amazing. That's just as, if not more, I would argue more inspiring than standing on top of the podium at the end of the season. So it's that's the power of everything that we do in this sport and just in sports in general is just it's hard work. It's putting yourself in uncomfortable situations, challenging, and then pulling yourself out of these challenges and getting stronger because of it. So I love it. I love hearing those stories.
Jay Birch says, I knew Becca was an incredible athlete the first time I saw her compete. Heart of fire for sure.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot. I mean, if anyone has been around since I started competing as a teenager, and hey, how cool is unofficial? We're going back to Carson. I competed as a teenager in Carson. So there is about to be a full circle happening there. But I used to, and I'll still kind of say it to this day, I was a very nervous wreck competitor, just not a strong competitor. Put way too much pressure on myself and in a bad way to where it hindered a lot of performances and just not being confident going out there. So it's really, I can look back at so many years and be proud of how far we've come.
So before we leave the internet topic, and I want to get into that a little bit, what you're talking about, you were inside my head on one of these reels.
Oh no.
So I'm going to share it.
Oh gosh.
You were inside my head and that's not right. But here it is.
You know, that's probably my biggest one of all time. I think it touched a little bit different community, just being that it was the Pokemon one. Yeah. Because if my brother thought it was funny and that I wasn't being completely ridiculous, then we were on the right track.
Yeah. Nobody loves a bench press more than I do.
Oh yeah.
And then to it turn into an echo bike is just insulting.
That's one of those where this is the beauty of content creating and any art that I think if you are an artist of some sort out there, whether it's like video editing, painting, whatever it is, I came up with that one on the spot. I go, let's shoot it. Took me 5 minutes to shoot it. And it came together like that. And it's probably the biggest one. So I get a little bit butthurt when I spend like 30 minutes trying to set up and edit and shoot a reels and then it just flops. I get a little bit butthurt about that, but what are you going to do?
Denise jumps back in. If I don't see a Becca IG video every day, I'm not happy. Dude, I look forward to your content every day.
Dude, I feel bad if during quarterfinals, I tried to stock up on a few videos before we started competing, because it's hard when I get in the competition mode. I have my creativity brain is shut down and it's just full focus on those workouts. And I feel bad. I'm like, shoot, I love to post those videos every single day and get some laughs. And I feel bad if I don't get a video out. I should have another good one today.
I'm going to show one more because it's the one that just, I think it was out yesterday.
Yes.
Sure.
That one was based off of something in quarterfinals too. I had a lot of quarterfinals ideas that Matt and I were brainstorming on.
So we had an athlete at our gym that would keep, when he snatched, it was always out in front of him. So he always like ran forward with it. And then we had a local comp that actually made you do it in a box. And if you stepped outside the box, it was no good. And he didn't get a single lift.
I mean, that's how it should be for safety reasons. But sometimes in the gym, you take it on a little walk and everything. You know, what's funny about that one is I was shooting it in the morning. And then all of our neighbors that are all around our building complex just saw me walking around with a barbell and my tripod. And I just act normal the whole time.
So the comic brilliance of this one is you take a concept like keeping it out in front of you and then you have to run with it. But when you stop on the couch, took it to a whole different level.
That's on the spot thinking. I've just walked around the building. I was like, oh, this might be funny.
So yeah, that one really tickled me.
No, good.
So let's talk about the season. You came into this season. I want to start with this. Last year at the West semifinal was not ideal. Jamie caught up with you after, I think, event four, and you did an interview with her. And what I love about you is that you don't shy away from the tough conversation, and you are probably the most self-aware athlete that I know. And I'm going to play that interview, and then I want to see like how that evolved into this season.
Let's see it.
And then our mics will mute during this. It's minute 32, but I'm going to show this real quick. So
I personally have thought the programming was kind of power outweighs strength biased. Can you give me your thoughts on the weekend so far?
Yeah, I think there's no sugarcoating that. I think we've all figured out at this point, like, the programming is what it is, and a lot of the workouts are leaning towards just having a little bit more mass behind you and having that power output, which we've been training all year. So regardless of what those numbers look like on the leaderboard, I'm like exceeding expectations and everything for what I had for myself. And then the end goal is, no matter what the programming is, I want to be able to make it and qualify. Obviously for this year and where I'm at right now, I mean, there's one more workout to go, and I'm going to fight to the end, but there's a lot more growth to happen, and you guys will see me competing for a long time.
Absolutely.
So and still trying to soak it all in.
So would you say you are even fitter this year than last year?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Yeah. Like 60-pound dumbbells in each hand. That wouldn't have happened like 6 months ago. So the fact that we almost finished Linda, and my goal was like, I would be stoked if I finished Linda, 2 reps short of that. So, I mean, we've seen so much growth over the past year, and I'm like, despite like the ups and downs we've had with being a little bit frustrated with the programming and whatnot, like, I still feel like we're headed upwards. Like, I still feel it. I'm not discouraged at all. In fact, I'm like encouraged by everything we're seeing this weekend.
That is amazing to hear. I'm excited to watch you power that bike.
Yeah.
And excited to watch you continue for another year and come back even stronger.
Thank you.
Good job this weekend, Tavar.
Thank you.
What a weirdo. I'm just kidding.
So there you are in the middle of a competition where at that point it was obvious you're not going to the games. And yet you are still able to assess yourself and your abilities and how much you've improved from the year before where you actually did go to the games.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you've had to work on in your career, or are you just naturally a positive person?
I wouldn't say I'm a naturally positive person. I think that's grown over the years. I think that's a huge area of growth, just as much as like physical strength, because I'm really, really hard on myself. And I've really come to realize over the years of competing, and if I want to keep competing, if it's worth that are to still compete, like, I have to enjoy it and learn how to pull positives from it. If not, it's just, I'm not going to compete if I'm just making myself miserable all the time. But I do feel like the way I was raised and the sports that I grew up in and everything, I was made to compete, because I really do love to do it. And I know the best of the best know when to appreciate like those moments and how you got better, but also not, I think when I look back at an interview like that, I was very proud of myself for staying in the moment and being and trying to take away every positive from it. But I know in the back of my mind and in my heart, I was still pretty bummed and disappointed that it didn't end up like the year before. But there was never discouragement. It was just, what do I need to do next? And the word I think I've been catching myself on even through this season is being patient. I realize I'm not at my strong. I'm still not at my strongest years. When I've been competing since a teenager, I knew it'd be a long, long journey to find the biggest Becca there is. So we're still not at that. It's patience. It's having patience.
Jamie's actually jumped in the chat. Loved speaking with her.
Yeah.
So Big Becca is a still a thing. It's still a hashtag. It's still on your Instagram and it's still the main goal.
It's everything. It's everything for me right now. And I think I hope it connects with other people too. It's a mindset. I feel like it's an alter ego almost.
I like it. I like it. Like, and eventually, hopefully you're superhero.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at like last year and all of your lifting numbers improve and it just wasn't quite good enough last year in a programming style that was very power output. Do you have to tell yourself that this programming just wasn't ideal and you have to be patient, but someday it's not going to matter?
I would rather go through the things that we went through last year right now, because I know my stronger years are coming up. So yes, there is a bit of disappointment. You're really getting all the emotions when you go hit PRs mid competition, but they're just not good enough, because you have to be proud of that. But then it's not anywhere where you want to be. So I would much rather go through this now and keep filling in and realize I'm continuing to fill in the holes. So when I really am at my peak physical like state, I'm at my peak mental strength state, or how my mind is the strongest it's ever been. So I think it'll all come together in the end. And there have been many times over the past, ever since probably since I qualified for the games, that I felt like I was getting beat down. And that's where I've told some people before, after the 2022 games, I was probably in a big rut just because I felt like I got beat up over there. And I was like, is this something I'm actually built for? And I said, if I'm going to keep going for this and try to be the athlete I know I can be, I have to first see a bigger version of Becca, because I felt pretty puny after the games. And then coming off of semifinals, it's just more tests. It's just more tests. So I think it's all paying off. And I mean, we're working through it. Every stage we've gotten stronger. I think I feel it.
So those 22 games, it was your coming out party, right? That mm-hmm. There's no question about that. I have the shirt right there.
Mm-hmm.
Signed. And so thankful that you did that. The Capitol brought you to the forefront of everybody. It was a strength event at the end. Mm-hmm. It was a strength event at the beginning. You had to flip those pigs. Mm-hmm. You had to lift those sandbags. And why everybody related to you is that you struggled with that weight getting up those stairs. Right.
Yep.
But it also set an expectation for you. Did you feel after the games like that might have been too much too soon, or did you just embrace it and use it as motivation?
You know, that's a good question, because when I made the games in 2022, I realized, and I told people this, I go, we made the games because the programming was perfect for where I was at. That's not all of it. The programming was great for me, and I executed everything the best that we could. Perfect competition, minus the lunge that I effed up at the end. If anyone remembers that. Yeah. Near perfect competition. So I was super proud of that. I'm a big believer in moments happen for a reason, and whether they happen for the reason of you're going to make a debut or you're going to go get your ass handed to you and you're going to get stronger because of it, it happened for a reason. And after the games, I knew I'd have a big expectation leading into the next year. But I can tell you this, no one puts more pressure on me than my own brain. Like, I know that's the hardest thing I have to tackle. I mean, there's external critics everywhere that still to this day, like still can't understand like the workout that we just did in quarterfinals, like surprised that I moved a 165 bar that many times. I go, that's not a surprise to me. I know I can move those weights. We've just been looking at maximal one rep maxes for so long and heavy sandbags that are less technical and just have to deal with more mass. And but I know I'm a pretty fit person, so it's just I'm excited to hopefully show it off more and more each year as we're filling in these gaps.
So this off season, you go to Wodapalooza.
Mm-hmm.
The first event is a snatch complex. Correct?
I think. Yes. Yes, that was the first one.
And you looked stronger than I've ever seen you. I was jumping out of my chair with excitement for your result in that first event. It wasn't like your best finish of the weekend, but I go to a gym where Christy Aramo O'Connell is the owner, and I've watched her struggle with strength.
She's one of my peeps that I look up to.
And as she got stronger, like just her finishing mid pack was extremely exciting for me. Mm-hmm. And I saw that in you at Wodapalooza. What were your thoughts? Was that clarification that that all the work you're putting in is getting you to where you need to be?
Absolutely. I mean, those are the moments that's why you do so many long training sessions in the gym. But when I went out to do that specific event at Wodapalooza, I was excited and very, very nervous stepping on the stage because I knew the pressure I was putting on myself because I wanted to set the tone for the year. And I think that really did it. I mean, those lifts too, it was one of those moments you get in competition where it felt effortless. So it was a fun moment.
So that's even better than it looked. If it felt effortless, then you're in a good place.
Yeah, it was. We had a really good warm-up leading up to that. I was confused. Matt and Gerard were standing right there. I was really nervous right before stepping onto the stage. But the days before Wodapalooza, I was like oddly more relaxed than I normally am before competitions. Sometimes I get really quiet and I'm pretty snippy around people sometimes when the nerves start building up. But I felt pretty good and relaxed and like we were having a lot of fun in Miami. So that was fun.
Yeah, it's so funny because as we've gotten to know each other, like I know that you're kind of introverted away from your social media.
Mm-hmm.
And so and yet you push yourself to do all these videos and all these podcasts and you're so good at it that people would be amazed that that's not how you are at a competition.
Man, I'm just a weirdo. I don't know. I'm like, I love making all the weird faces for videos and characters for all that. But when it's time to compete, I'm really, really quiet. I'd rather, I've tried to be when I was a younger competitor, tried to be that crack a joke right before we go out for competition. But I realized those were my own like insecurities coming out. Like funny example. I'm gonna be the one to trip and fall on my face on when we're running out to our lanes and everything. But it's just, those are just little things I don't put in my head anymore. So I rather just stay quiet and focus on good reps in my head. Good reps. Keep going. Visualization.
So you finished Wodapalooza. What a mess that was with the rain and the weather and all of that.
Talk about rolling with the punches.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't go this year. I watched it on TV and it was frustrating just as a spectator trying to figure out the schedule, figure out what the new event was. I can't imagine being an athlete. And I've heard rumors that like you're in the corral and all of a sudden they're like, hey, we're changing this to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a lot of last minute changes just because it would start pouring or just start raining a little bit harder. But I do appreciate Wodapalooza. The people that were running it seemed to be very on top of having things ready to go or backup plans ready to go. But yeah, there were situations where things got changed like before we ran out onto the floor. There were weights changed when we got on the floor, like the dumbbell workout, I looked over and I go, oh, that's a lighter dumbbell, because they didn't want 70-pound dumbbells flying into the crowd. Although that would have been exciting, I guess.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
duck. Duck. Yeah.
Yeah. Duck.
So then we get to the open, and we're going to talk about, I think this is a good segue. You win event 24.3. And, you know, the big saying now is the open doesn't matter. The open doesn't matter. But it's got to mean something when you win an event or you do well in it, as a gauge as to where you are in your fitness. Mm-hmm. So you win 24.3 and your gym does this for you. And they give you this belt.
We should give Matt a ring announcer, like hype man spot somewhere.
So I think I can unmute it. Maybe.
Try that. Yeah, the other side.
You might know her as Coach Rebecca around here. She floats like a butterfly, stings like a big bee. 24.3 world champion.
How cool was that?
That was one of the coolest things ever. My face has never looked like that before. Because if you've been around for some time, I'm also a big WWE fan and have called on WWE to be like, hey, if you ever need a backup. I know I'm a little bit on the smaller side, but I can flip off the ropes and everything. So it was so cool. I mean, that spending, and I said it when we were doing quarterfinals, doing a workout in front of those guys, a competition workout in front of those guys, or having moments like that, it almost beats being on the live stage, because it has so much. This is my family over here. They see all the work. They know what the work we put in every single day. So that's special. I'll never forget that.
So before we go on to another aspect of this, I love the belt idea. I have been pitching for over a year that CrossFit needs to have, like when Colton and Jake Berman did the burpee workout against each other, CrossFit should have had a belt for Colton. And he is now the burpee champ, right? And he holds that title till someone can beat him and challenges him. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a way to grow the sport.
Mm-hmm.
So like, say you're the chest-to-bar pull-up champion, right? Mm-hmm. And you want to take people on, and then you win the belt and you own that belt until someone can beat you.
Yeah. More things like that, more involvement in the community with competition is great. I have nothing against that. And I will say this, because this is something that my perspective has changed on. Trophies are cool. Like, that's cool. Everybody, like, as much as you want to say like, oh, the medals and everything, because I grew up that way. I was like, I don't actually do it for things like that. But to have something that you worked so hard for and to be recognized for it, like, that's fun. That's special. And that's competition. You get the title, and it's fun to have little things like that to fight for. It just adds a little bit of fun and character to the sport too.
Trophies and medals are cool.
Mm-hmm.
A championship belt is the cat's pajamas.
Is that I've never heard that term, Scott.
I'm trying to bring it back. It's from like the 1920.
I hope that means it's awesome and it's good.
It's the Mac Daddy and the Daddy Mac.
I mean, I felt that thing is awesome, but it belongs here at Bolt too. That's super cool.
Yeah. So I just think, I think like a championship belt, just it's universal as like this epic thing. Like, boxing's been around forever, and then you add that to UFC and you add it to wrestling, and it's this like iconic award,
mm-hmm.
that you get. And so I think it's cool.
Yeah. I mean, that whole thing, I mean, there's so much, and we talked about, it's like this whole conversation's coming full story of just the bringing up of like my own story, and everybody has their own story, but the moment, the whole story of 24/3, which I know what you're about to bring up, Scott, I'm going to get into the other side of 24/3. It's so much of just adding to the storybook. And one of the things I'll always be proud of, like, it's cool to, and it's a huge, major accomplishment to make it to the CrossFit Games. But there are very few people that can say they're the best at one workout on planet Earth. Like, that's really cool. That's a special title.
So, you know where we're going. Mm-hmm. In typical Becca fashion, it can't be all good.
Mm-hmm.
We got a trip going out to the floor,
mm-hmm.
and everybody's got to come down on you for the way your elbows were built.
Mm-hmm. They're built different, man.
So there was some internet gripe about that you didn't come to full extension with your elbows.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I find fascinating is, you're the queen of the internet. Like, so if anybody's going to battle that siege, you're going to be equipped to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately you put out a video showing you doing like 10 other exercises and your elbows in the exact same position they were for that movement.
Mm-hmm.
And other exercises where it would not be advantageous not to be at full extension to your capability.
You are the first person to realize that. Do you realize that, Scott?
Well, that then the other people are not smart.
Yes, I know. You are the first person to realize that we actually struggle a little bit with my elbows not being able to. It's not that they don't lock out all the way. Think about, like, they're just not stacked as well as I would like them to be, like a perfect column.
Right.
So I had to rehab on them ever since I've had injuries from gymnastics and everything. So,
yeah, in a handstand pushup, it's not advantageous to have a bent elbow.
Mm-mm.
Like, that will crush you. And mm-hmm. yet you're great on your hands.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was a great illustration.
Mm-hmm. There's lots of different aspects of it. The biggest thing is, I'll say, is CrossFit has helped keep my joints very, very strong. And that is one thing I'm very happy, especially when it comes to something like that, like previous injuries. It's something everyone always has those little things that they're always dealing with. But weightlifting, weight training, and has kept that joint much stronger than I thought it would ever be. So that's good.
Yeah. So you say, like, your own opinion matters more than any kind of critic from the internet. Yet you're besieged by so much of it in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Did it take a toll on you, or did you do that video and say, here's my response and I'm done with it?
The goal, I mean, I put out that video with that positive mindset in the forefront. But I take it, that was honestly one of the hardest things to go through. And all kidding aside, I leaned on Matt, I leaned on my family, and I leaned on the community for a long time after that, because it was a lot of just up and downs in my head of just the last thing I would ever, ever want to be accused of is trying to cheat. And that's what was being put in my head, is like, this, she's trying to cheat, she's trying to cut range of motion, that's not how you do it. That is everything plus more that I am not. I would never ever try to do that. And the thing is, the whole story of that is that one workout was, it in some way, it felt like it it had to happen the way it was with the type of competitor I am. Everybody's in this stage of CrossFit where they're saying the open doesn't matter. I don't care what competition you sign me up for. Yes, there might be a little less pressure on the open, but I'm going to finish every single one of those workouts on my back and make sure it was 100% of everything that I had. And then when I crawled up on an opportunity to show that and showcase a world record time, I knew from the beginning what we were getting ourselves into, of being under the microscope like that, where everybody was going to be so nitpicky and everything. And some people would understand. And in the vlog, which I'm sure most people have seen, I talk about it, where there were some things that I didn't like about our first attempt. And there was a reason to redo it, even though I was very confident in my first attempt. I was like, there's more in this workout and there's more we have to show the world. So we redid it, and I loved the way the second attempt went. And there was so much emotion that went from starting 24-3. I did my first attempt on Friday morning. I immediately knew what boat we were getting into with the drama of video review these days, how much stress I put on myself, being that I am involved in social media. I know how to work a camera and everything. So I want to make sure my video is legit and unquestionable. And then when Matt said, hey, we're going to go for another attempt on this open workout because we have a chance of setting or of being at the top, like that's not a chance you get a lot. My whole entire weekend, because I did my redo on Monday, so we did the first attempt on Friday, and then leading up to Monday, I've never dreamt about a workout so much. My whole weekend, my mindset was dedicated to 24-3, and from there on, I did it, score was submitted, everything was official, and then we dealt with like a week of waiting for the official call on, so it was just in my brain for so long, and it was just a lot of ups and down, a lot of moments, but I kept trying. And it wasn't until you that video that we just watched of the belt to where I was really proud, because I felt like the people, like I said in my post about my elbows, the people that know. Yeah. And those are my people. And when we did, when they brought out that, when people were yelling and cheering on Saturday, it almost brought me to tears, because it was such an emotional roller coaster.
It sucks that you can't enjoy a moment like that more.
That was the sucky part of it. I felt like I was being robbed of such a big accomplishment.
Did it affect your training that week at all? Or
training helped.
It chipped on your shoulder.
When I get into a workout, I can shut all that off.
Okay. Do you keep it as a receipt and go, I'm going to show these people what I'm capable of?
Oh yeah. I'm excited now. We're past quarterfinals. Well, we still got video review. I never want to jump too far ahead of that. I've gotten one video reviewed. I just saw it this morning. But yeah, live competitions where it's fun.
And the best part about live competition is there is no video review.
Right. There's no internet or keyboard warriors, whatever that term is. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a show. Let's go perform.
So let's talk quarterfinals. You went in, you finished fifth in North America West, which is way above what you needed to do to get to Carson. You finished 36th worldwide, which is a nice checkpoint to see, hey, top 40 go to the games. Where am I? What does that mean? Do you look at that as meaning anything, or is it just, I got to move forward and that's.
The way quarterfinals was structured, just being four events, I don't take the worldwide leaderboard into account. Although I was very happy with the workouts. I think a lot of people were too. It seemed I loved finishing all the workouts on my back. They really tested you, and I felt like I was doing CrossFit, which is getting the ugly, we're gonna die at the end of this workout feeling. We were quarterfinals is kind of what you said, make sure, I mean, we've competed every workout super hard, but make sure it's clean, crisp, and it does what we need to do to get us to live competition. And I'm happy with my scores. I will say this. I think there's more room in some of that. So I wasn't like ecstatic about some of my scores.
With the blind leaderboard, how tough does that make the weekend?
When you train alone, it makes it very long.
Yeah.
Yeah, like some athletes have like their training buddies and everything. And I like it. I like the challenge of it, but it is a little bit nerve wracking.
I know last year I was with Jamie. She was doing quarters for Masters. Blind leaderboard, she trains alone. And so there's no idea where you're at. Like, you put in a score, you don't know if it's good, bad. Nobody's sharing anything with her. And it was really tough. And I'm wondering if you go through the same thing.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And especially take quarterfinals workout one this year. A whole different structure of a workout that we've never really competed before, like an EMOM structure, right? Like Fight Gone Bad. That was the one we ended up redoing just specifically to learn how to do that workout. Like I was confident. I did better on the second attempt, and we were confident in my first attempt that it would do what it needed to do. But we were like, let's go do something completely different, being that we had extra days to do quarterfinals versus in the past we'd have less days and more events. We just learned more from that one. But that, having some specific events like that one, it's nerve-wracking because you're just waiting to see what else is going on out there. Just kind of don't have that idea.
You had extra days. But there were no sprints in this workout, in this test. And a lot of people got crushed.
Mm-hmm.
If you gave 100% to these workouts, like, you were hurting at the end of the weekend.
If anyone out there did that wall ball burpee one twice, major props to you, because that's the one that got me. My quads were very, very, very sore after that one. I know some of our folks around here were having issues getting on and off the toilets after that one.
And I see Jamie still in the comment. Her argument was that the interval workout was harder than the wall ball burpee.
That was, in my opinion, the first workout with the stations, the interval one, hardest workout we've done of the season so far.
Yeah,
it was, and I loved it because it was just as much as a mental test as it was a physical test, because you had to be mentally engaged with the clock, how many reps you were doing each round. So I loved it. It was very, you had to be very strategic with it. And everybody probably had a different plan going in.
The funny thing that happened on that wall ball burpee workout is a lot of my friends were texting me that their phone shut off in the middle of that. Many of them passed the 50% mark and then had to redo it because their camera shut off.
Bro,
what precautions do you take that doesn't happen?
You don't want to even know. There is so much that I do. I get more and more like insane when it comes to quarterfinals and getting these videos on right, which is understandable with the scrutiny we get on videos these days, which is appropriate. I have nothing against it. Everybody needs to try hard on these videos because it is weird to do video online qualifiers, and we need to be able to see everything as best as we can. That being said, all these workouts were long. I was so worried about my phone storage. I did have one of my backup cameras crash on one of them. Luckily we had, that was the backup. So on the first 2 days, when my family's around, my dad is the best, and he'll break out his iPad, which is an extra camera too, just to set it up just in case. But I have my phone, my iPad as the backup, and then usually there's my dad's iPad. So I have three cameras on me. And I charged up this year with all the scrutiny with my elbow. I charged up my old phone to make a special elbow cam. Now, I didn't have to use that based on the events. But I was like, you guys, I'll break this out if needed. I will put a camera right on my elbow where it looks less like a rainbow. So you guys can see that I'm getting locked out and everything. So there are 2 to 3 cameras set up. Before every workout, I make sure I have more than enough storage. It's set to airplane mode. I think I shared this on my newsletter. I was like, if you guys use this, I think you'll be good. But airplane mode, fully charged electronics, all of that. But half the time in the workout, especially something like that one, I'm thinking about, please, I hope the camera's still going. I hope it's still going. Extra stress.
Jay Birch says, how many times did you check to ensure your scores and videos uploaded correctly?
Mm-hmm. About 1,000. So this is what I do. As soon as I finish the workout, I have this whole thing figured out. This is why I'm tired. Like after quarterfinals, my body's not tired. My brain is tired. Immediately after I finish the workout, they go get uploaded to YouTube. Okay. Both the main camera and the backup camera get uploaded to YouTube. Then the score, being that it's a hidden leaderboard, you put your score in ASAP because you can always go back and edit them. You can delete scores and edit them. So you might as well get something in there, even if you choose to redo it after. There was a little bit, I think we all know, I'm not going to sugarcoat anything, the mishap with the some people putting in the incorrect score for the workout 4. I've heard that been going around. You know what I'm talking about? No?
I do not.
Okay. So there were some people that were entering clean and jerks. I think they're fixing them right now. I think I got an update on that. But people were putting in the max amount of clean and jerks they did on the last bar and not adding up the 30 reps that were before that. So they were putting in like a much lower score. When you enter in your score on your profile, it gives you, I think the website's great. I don't know how it does this, but it gives you a summary of what you completed in the workout. So it goes, if I'm doing the clean and jerk workout, it gives me, you did 10 clean and jerk. I got 58 reps. You did 10 clean and jerks at workout 1 or weight 1, 10 at weight 2, 10 at weight 3, and then 28 reps at the final barbell. It gives you a summary of your workout. And I look at it, I screenshot it, I show Matt and anyone who's standing around me to make sure I'm not crazy. They all verify my scores. And then I submit it and then go check it about 1,000 times before the submission window ends. No joke. I have screenshots of everything.
So just one of my friends who the phone cut out, airplane mode and do not disturb are not equal partners.
I've always done airplane mode. I don't know what do not disturb does.
He had airplane mode and got a spam phone call and it cut off his video.
So we need to put on do not disturb as well.
I think that is what he is saying.
Okay. Thank you, Corey. We survived this time, but I will take that into account.
Well, I think an iPad is even safer because there's no phone calls, right? Like,
I think my phone connects to my iPad. So I think whatever comes through on my phone comes on my iPad.
Yikes.
We're going to have to test that going into next year. We made it.
Yeah. You're all live now.
But yeah, that's why I don't. People were asking me if I was excited about quarterfinals. I told them no for that reason. Am I excited to compete always? Yes. But for the videos and everything, that's stressful.
I know we had a question back here. Sure. From, I think it was Sarah Cooper. Here it is. Found it. How were her training changed between now and semis?
Good question. So being that the season, the dates changed this year, we have such little time between quarters and semis. Like we have a month from here. Matt definitely mentioned to me, like, he's like, we're ready for quarterfinals. You're always good at in the gym stuff. We're training for semifinals right now. We're lifting the heavy sandbags. We're doing odd objects. We're getting on, this morning I posted, we were immediately back on the runner. We're getting some running volume in. Basically, to kind of put it in a short sentence, let's do less in the gym stuff or less traditional CrossFit and start moving odd objects. We might go jump on a pegboard. We will do some more running volume. We'll hit longer time domains. And then just things like that. So we were already training for semifinals before quarters. I'm pretty confident in all of my in the gym open/quarterfinals fitness. Now it's time to start moving odd objects and just filling in any other holes that we think we found along the way.
Well, as always, the hour flies by so doggone fast with you. And we have already passed it. So we will let you go and get back to your day, because I know you are one of the busiest people in CrossFit. Always. And as we saw in the chat, people are waiting for their IG reels.
Yes. Today. I have to get to it. I haven't shot it yet, but it's coming, guys.
This is a great episode for you. If you guys just jumping in, you need to go back and check this one out. Great talk. Thank you for being, as always, so transparent about what happened with you in 24.3 and all of that stuff. Yeah. You were awesome as always, and good luck at semis. And I can't wait till you make the games and we'll have you back on to celebrate that moment.
Got to represent Texas. It's going to be a good rest of the season. Thank you for having me, Scott. It's always a blast.
That's a huge question. How much pressure is on you that the games are in Texas and your home state? And do you want to make it while they're there?
Yeah, I want to hold down home base. This is our state. I'm just kidding. Okay, but I'm not. Am I kidding? Am I not? I do want to make my fellow Texans proud.
Awesome. Well, that's a great way to end. Thank you, everybody in the chat. You guys have made this awesome. We will see everybody next time on the Clydesdale Media Podcast. Bye, guys. C4 Energy, Extend, and CelluCor are delivering the most effective, best-tasting, and highest-quality products for you. Get 20% off when you use the code Clydesdale at checkout at C4energy.com. That's C4energy.com. And now back to the interview.